left off yesterday trying to categorize the different kinds of mazikin in the Torah. Not every time that I do something that ends up resulting in a loss of value of your property is called a mazik mamish. There's the absolute other mazik. That's the worst case scenario. That's makan efesh be mishomer. That's a poskim pashas emor. Then you have a mamon chizik. My ox goes and eats up your produce. That's for sure going to be chayav as a psukim pashas mishpatim. Then you have a little bit, almost like a nuanced mazikin. You have what the Gemara calls on the other extreme is grum of an ezikin, versus grum of an ezikin potter. I set up a situation that 15 steps down the line causes you to have said mamon, although the Gemara says in the second Bepal of Das, I'm not allowed to do that. Grum of an ezikin is also right to do that. And Bezin is going to stop me from doing that. But Tachas, if I did it, I'm going to make it higher. Grum of an ezikin is going to be potter. Not all that different than we find from the Chushabis, Ritzicha, from other areas of Halacha, where a person can't be held responsible, at least in Beit Shomata, for something that comes about through Grammar. Then the Gemara has this middle category called Dina de Garmi, which is very, very tricky. One of the trickiest issues about Dina de Garmi is how exactly does it differ from Grammar? How would you know whether something is Grammar or Garmi? We're going to talk about that in days and weeks to come. But if we fall into this middle category of Dina de Garmi, so then the Allah is chayav. It's machlokes of teroim, but we pass it explicitly in the end of the Kama. Doing dina de gami, like Rabbi Meir, that we do, in fact, make you literally pay even mezuzah shemata for dina de gami. So we saw as part of our sugya mechitza kerem, when I have my vineyard and you have your grain field, and the wall falls down, and the bezin comes and informs the baal hakerem that he must put that wall back up again. Now, why are they only informing him and not the other fellow? That's a whole other load of questions. So we have a lot of different pieces of this moving piece of this puzzle of Mechitza Kerem Shnifritza. But that's clear that the Balak Kerem, Balak Yefid, is the one who's held responsible to put back the wall. If he doesn't put back the wall, he doesn't listen to our warning, and he doesn't put back the wall, so then two things happen. Number one, the resulting produce is all also. And number two, he now has to pay the bill. He's chayav. Al-Tzmazik. What kind of a mazik is he? The Gemara said in Rav Kaaba, the worst kind of mazik that he is a mazik of garmi. It's not mazik mamish, it's not even a mono mazik, it's only din in the garmi, which again is its own category and may have certain leniencies connected to it. So the question that we dealt with yesterday was, why is it only din in the garmi? What's the difference between this and other kinds of direct mazik? So the Ramban introduced us the following concept. The Ramban said that a hezek that occurs through mere machshava, only through one's thought process, that can never be more than garmi. And since kilayim don't just come in existence of themselves, it's not just a maisa kilayim, but it's the machshavas adam. When my grapes are growing together with your wheat, and I'm not doing anything about it, I know about it, I'm well aware of it, and I couldn't care less to do anything about it, that's the yisur. So that machshavas adam is such an integral part of the hefsid mamon. Therefore, it's labeled only as the Didigami. So the Rishonim got into trouble with that yourself. Because what's between that and people? People is also, if I'm a fagel, your korban, I shech your korban with the intention to eat it after this man, the Gemara does not call that Didigami. The Mishnah, the Gemara called that mazik. So why isn't that Didigami? It's also machshava. So we left off the end of the Shia yesterday with two approaches. The Machlokes, the Taz and the Rosh, and the Ramban. The Taz and Rosh said, Pigul is different. Pigul is dibur. Pigul is not machshava. And the Rabban said, yes, it is. It's still machshava. So manishtar a pigul from kerem, says the Rabban, pigul is a maisa. I did a maisa of shchita. True, it had to be accompanied by a machshava, but the davar hamazik is the maisa shehizik. And that maisa shehizik is a mazik mamish. So in passing, we identified a major machlekes in the Rishonim, whether mazik aydei dibor, is that automatically a mazik mamish? That's a Tozer Rosh. The Tozer Rosh said, the minute that I utter words, I've left the realm of garmi into the realm of mazik mamish. That's a sugya b'fagel. That's not true. Dibor itself is not going to change anything. Dibor itself is not per se a mazik mamish. So it's this last nakuda that emanated from yesterday's discussion that I want to see if we can pick up from now and raise this question. Again, this is all part of our general understanding, a general categorization of different mazikim. I want to know, Lamaisa, I cause you a hefsid mamon, but I did it using my mouth. No hands, Nothot, the mouth, the words, the uttered words, and the utterance of those words created a hezek for you. Can you take me to a dintara al tzmazik mamish, with all the chumras thereof, or the best you could possibly get out of me is call me a din dekarmi. So there is a sugya on the 14th of the Marmakomos that may shed some light on this topic. So it comes in work sumas that peivavam and alef, with what first sounds like an absolutely startling statement. We'll take it with a grain of salt, a ton of salt for a moment. Hopefully we will explain it as the shiur develops. But we're definitely going to be scratching our head over this one. So it comes in my goof, amashmua. Hamochesh tachov l'chaveiro. I sell you a shtar chov. What does that mean? I have a shtar chov against somebody else. Reuven borrowed $1,000 from me. I have a document that says Reuven hereby is obligated to pay me $1,000. That shtar chov is worth something in the marketplace. Now, I'm not a businessman. I imagine I probably can't get $1,000 for it because it's a pain in the neck. The other person who I sell to has got to go collect it. And there's always the off chance the roofer may skip town and won't be able to do it. So it's a little bit of a risk. So I think this concept exists in the secular law, correct? When you sell off, I have one bank sells the mortgage to another bank. I have a chav against you, I sell off to somebody else. Right? Okay, no problem. The chazal machlo. Catch this one. I sell the shtar that I have against Reuven, I sell it off to Shimon, and then an hour later, I turn around to Reuven and I say, oh, I'm Michael the Chov. It's okay. You don't have to pay me back anymore. If you would have asked me, I would have said, that's ridiculous. That's like saying, I sold you a car, and then I'm going to go take the car back again. What do you mean? Who am I? I just sold the Chov off to somebody else. Say Shmuel, I'm a Shmuel. Hamochesh Tachov, Vechaz, Machol, Machol. I could do it. I didn't say I should do it. I didn't say it's a nice thing to do it, but I do have the mechanism, the imamanis, to do such a crazy thing. That I could sell the chov off to Reuven and then turn around and be Michael the chov, and Reuven's out in the dark. So again, we didn't explain how in the world, what mechanism this works with. But the Gemara makes the following statement. Second, the end of the second line. Omer HaMeimar, Man B'doin Dinet Negarmi, Man B'bei D'mei Shtar Ma'alya. If you follow the view of Rabbi Meir, which we happen to do, and you pass Kindini de Garmi, so then Reuven, I forgot where the place, but the Mocher, i.e. the Mocher slash Moichel, he caused a tremendous Hefsid Mammon to the person who he just sold the shtar to. He just sold him $1,000 piece of paper, and he just was mazik that piece of paper by being Moichel the Chov. So the Lakeach, the purchaser of that Chov, can take the Mocher slash Moichel to a Din Torah and collect the money based on what principle? Based on the principle of Din de Garmi. And what about Manda Lodo and Din de Garmi? What if you don't accept Din de Garmi? Mabi Beit Meini Yorbi Alma. So the best you can get out of the guy is the value of the piece of paper. Whoop-de-doo. So now you took him to a Din Torah for a nickel for a piece of paper in Staples. Don't feel bad if you lost all the Yisharim and lost this also.
Right. I mean, I vaguely remember, but why don't we just call it an apron? I understand why we're trying to lean towards Garmi too, because he's not taking something out of the pocket, so he's not changing rishus. But it's still Gnei. We have Gnei Das. We have various different Gnei. So it's just a different form of Gnei.
So there is a fundamental question: where does Mazik end and Gnei start? What's the difference between Ganav and a Mazik? The answer to that question is as follows. That Gneva, it may not be true according to everybody, but we're going to present, this seems to be a simple shot. Gneva slash Gazela is presupposing, not that I'm simply damaging something of yours, I'm actually taking something back. I'm getting you. So I walk into your house and I walk away with your wallet, that's called a Ganav. If I go into your house and I light your wallet on fire and I destroy the wallet, I'm not a Ganav. I didn't walk away with anything. I'm a Mazik. I caused you a hefsid. That's the partial chat difference between the two. Over here, I didn't get anything. I was Mazik Yechov. You had this right. You had this chus mamon to collect. Just whoever could just mute, possibly. Well, when you have this chus mamon called $1,000 worth of chus mamon, I go ahead to some wild halachic mechanism and I destroy that for you. I'm Mazik that for you through the vehicle of Mechila. I wasn't going to get anything. I didn't get anything. I didn't walk away with $1,000. I was mafsid you with $1,000. That's mafsid. That's not Ganav. So it comes in the with two statements here. So we have statement number one, that such a mechanism exists, which again, we still don't know why it sounds to defy logic. And number two, if and when you do this, you're going to be held responsible to reimburse the fellow. But, and it's a critical but, not alts masik mamish, alts dina de garmi. The Gemara is very clear, it's alts dina de garmi, because the Gemara made it dependent upon the mayor and the rabbanon. Then the Gemara tells a very, very strange story. How about over the last line, that once this happened, it shall really happen, the katye raf from the Rav Ashi, the agbeki kshul tzalmei. And Rafram was a famous dayan in the days of the Gemara. Rafram forced Rav Ashi to pay the full amount when this story happened. What do those words mean? The summary of the Gemara is that Rav Ashi was the bad guy here. Rav Ashi sold a shtar to somebody. Then he turned around and it was Michael the shtar. And Rafram was the dayan, and he forced him to pay the full amount because we passed into the Gemara. That doesn't put Rav Ashi, who wrote the Gemara, into a very good light. So there's Machlekes of Rishon. What's the kind of story? So Rashi has a fascinating comment on this. So Rashi says, Rav Ashi was a kid. What? Right, we have this. Right. So we mentioned quickly that there are two different versions of Rishon. What happened? According to Rashi, he was a kid. Rav Ashi was under Bar Mitzvah, really dealing under the age of Bar Mitzvah, because before he was writing a Gemara, so he was making a few dollars on the side. So Rav Ashi, this is a kid, so Rafra made him pay. After he reached Bar Mitzvah, Rav Ashi would do such a terrible thing. And other Rishonim say, come on. First of all, you can't even force a guy for damage that he did as a kid. That's not the story at all. Kafir Rafra and Rav Ashi, we mentioned in the beginning of the sugya, means that Rav Ashi was sitting in a din Torah over somebody else who did such a thing. And Rav Ashi wanted to paskin against the Gami, and Rav told him he was wrong. We paskin, yes, the Gami. So again, different nuance, different versions of what the story was. But the Maisa, again, what's important for us are the most important part for us, so gives this point we want to extract, that being Meichel L'chov cannot be anything more than the Gami. So now, how do we understand this Gemara in light of the Machlekes, that way between the Taisa Rosh and the Ramban? So according to the Ramban, who holds that Dibor is not necessarily the same as a Mazik Mamish. What do you think, Rosh? Just whoever could just please mute. I could do it for them. Well, I can't figure out how to mute it, but okay. Whatever it is, okay. So we had a Machlekes Taisa Rosh and the Ramban. Why is Pigel not Garmi? So Taisa Rosh, that's not Garmi because it's Dibor. So wait a second, if it's Dibor, if according to Taisa Rosh, Dibor means Mazik Mamish, why is it Meichel Shtachar V'Chavero? Mazik Mamish. I was Meichel it. I said the Shtar is Mochel, the debt is canceled. Why is that Mazik Mamish? According to the Ramban, I understand. According to the Ramban, Dibur itself doesn't necessarily make you Mazik Mamish. The Bechor of this Gemara is a Raya Brura, it's a Raya Brura that just because you had Dibur, that in and of itself does not translate to Mingami. So how do we understand this Gemara? Well, the only way to understand this Gemara, why it's only Dibur Gami and not Mazik Mamish, is to go back to the ABCs of this Gemara. How does this work all together? The strangest part of the sugya is not the garmi part. The strangest part of the sugya, how in the world such a game work? I sell you something and I turn around and be Michael. So when we take a look at the 15th of the Mamakamos, the Rosh, in my sentence, Tzubas in the 9th parak, quotes a famous, famous biur in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. The Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, the Mochesh Tar Chov Shiochel Limchor, sorry, Alpha Pisha B'derais Avi Mecher, says Rabbeinu Tam, when I sold you originally the chov, when I sell you that dach, when I sell you the rights to collect, that is a binding mechira min haTorah. Don't tell me a story, says Rabbi Tam. It's only mechira derabbanan. That's where you get back out from it. Almost like Rabbi Tam is saying, don't tell me that story. You know why? Because that's the story that the Rif and the Rambam say. The Rif and the Rambam have a whole different view in the sugya. It's only derabbanan. Says Rabbi Tam, don't go down that route. Mechira shtaras Rabbi Tam held was mechira gemura mida araisa. So why can you turn around and be Michael? Rabbeinu Tam explains. Af mishum derayis avi mecher, mishum tishnei shibudim yesh to lemal va'al ha'loiveh. Brisket Torah, there are two shibudim that exist. The shibud is some kind of a responsibility, some kind of an obligation. But I borrow $1,000 from you, two distinct things happen. Echad shibud nechasav, v'echad shegufa meshubad lefrala. Says Rabbi Adam, when I borrow money from you, a dual obligation kicks in. Number one, this is called personal liability. You can take B to the Torah. And if I'm wearing a shirt and I have money in my pocket, you can get that money from me. That's a shibud haguf. I have a personal obligation to pay back this chov. In addition to the personal obligation, is what we call a shibud nechasim. Shibud nechasim means, forget about my personal obligation. You can go after my property. You can so much go after my property, even if I subsequently sold my property, you can go after it. Tell a marshal, I borrow $1,000 from you on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and I sell the property off for Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you can come Rosh Chodesh Teves and collect from that property. It's not even under my jurisdiction, it's not even under my Rishusin, it's not even my possession anymore, it doesn't matter. You can go after my Nechasim. Now, there are limitations to when you can do that. There are rules and details as to what you can and cannot take. But the Ikaron, you have a Shibud on my Nechasim. That's a different Shibud. So one is the Shibud Aguf, a personal liability, and one is a relation that's been created between you and my Nechasim that existed, Mishas Halva. So this is like ABC. This is Mishnayis, this is a Gemara, this is like Dabba Pasha, this is Rabbi Adam. But now Rabbi Adam takes this and says as follows. V'shibud Nechasim Shehalova, Yochel Amava Limkor. Says Rabbi Adam, Shibud Nechasim is Nitan Tebechira. And I'll tell you why. Shibud Nechasim is a type of a kinyan. What does that mean that I owe, my property owes you money? You have a lien against my property. That means you own my property to a certain extent. You have a tefisa, you have a little bit of a shaykhus to my property itself. You're almost like mashal of the v'daimah. I think probably most of us, either at this stage in our life or other stage in our life, can relate to this mashal. A person buys a house. Who owns the house? It says in the title, it says Sobolowski is there with the title. But we also know that every month you get a little notice from the bank that says, by the way, pay X amount of money if you want to continue to hold on to your house. So what's pshat? Pshat is that, yes, I own the house. It's true. But I also borrowed X amount of money from the bank and I put my house as a shibud. Bank is a shibud nechasim on my house. And if and when I don't pay back that loan, it may be nice to give you a month or two or three, and then there'll be a big foreclosure sign. I mean, they're going to go take that. That's exactly what I agree to. That's what a shibud nechasim is. I mean, mortgages are a little bit more of a limited kind of shibud nechasim because they're going primarily after the house itself. Shibud nechasim includes all of my nechasim, but the same mashal exists. So going back to the question, who owns the house? So yes, I own the house, but the bank also owns the house to a certain extent. The bank has some bylaws on this house. And since the bank has a certain degree of bylaws on this house, that bylaws can be sold from one party to the next. So when I have a shibud nechasim against you, when I lent you $1,000, and now I have a hold, I have a claim, I have a lien on every single piece of property that you own, I can sell that because I own it. I own a certain chos moment of yours. The Ridvon Mishchaz Kedushin coins the phrase, a shibud is a kinyan lechatzoyim. That doesn't mean literally 50%, but it's a partial kinyan. And just as a real kinyan is nitan lemechira, so to a partial kinyan is nitan lemechira. However, Rabbi Adam says, one thing you can sell, about shibud gufo shahaloi ve'en kinyan itasalav. How can you sell shibud aguf? A shibud aguf is not mominous. A shibud aguf is a relationship. A shibud aguf, kishibay kenu, I have a personal obligation to pay you back. How am I going to, what mechanism am I going to use to transfer that? It doesn't make any sense. I can transfer property. I can't transfer personal relationships. And therefore, such a bit of time, hamoichish tachev chaveiro is great. It's wonderful. It's gevaldik, but it only works halfway. When I sell off a loan to somebody else, that doesn't mean that I'm selling the personal obligation. The personal obligation remains the oil blood between me and you. What I sold was the shibud nechasim. And therefore, the person who I sold it to has the right to collect the nechasim from my original, the person who originally borrowed the money from me. But now you have a very, very strange triangle that's now set up here. Mochesh techev chaveiro does not take the mochesh out of the picture entirely. What it does is it transfers the rights of shibud nechasim to the lekeach, but the mochesh retains the shibud aguf because it is impossible up yalocha to sell the shibud aguf. So now the rush comes to the punchline. It says, Hilkach. As long as the mocher, the original malveh, the one who still retains that shibud aguf, because that's impossible to ever change, as long as he hasn't been mocher on the chov is intact. Once the chov remains, as long as the chov remains intact, then the shibud nechasim will be collectible. Aval imachal hamal veloloy veshibud gufo shenishir etzlay pakanami shibud nechasim. Says Rabbi Nadav, the minute that the shibud aguf is dissolved, through what mechanism in halacha? Through mechila. Once you meichel the shibud aguf, then mameila the shibud nechasim ceases to exist. Comes the Rabbi Nadav and gives you a mashal. The nichsei the inish inun araven day. It's a quote from the Gemara of Basra that relationship between Shibra Guf and Shibra Chasim is almost like the relationship of a lova and a cosigner. I lend you $1,000 and somebody else cosigns on the loan. If the loan ceases to exist between me and you, let's say I'm meichel to the lova and I can say, I'm meichel to the chov, I'm going to go collect from the Arev. The Arev is only chayev because the loiva. So once the lova's relationship is paka, the mail of the Arab's chiv is paka as well. So says Rabbi Tam, let's say, Marshall, the shibud nechasim doesn't exist in a vacuum. The shibud nechasim exists as an extension, as a result of a pre-existing shibud aguf. The minute the shibud aguf is gone, the shibud nechasim ceases to exist. So again, it doesn't sound fair. It sounds like, hey, wait a second, we just pulled the wool over of the innocent lokeach. We didn't say you're allowed to do this. And if you do it, you're going to be held accountable and based in. The mechanism is there. Apidim, the reason why mechila works, was it is the premise of Rabbi Nadav is it is absolutely halachically impossible to sell shibud aguf.
So why is it even garmi? When I buy the lokeach, I knew full well when I buy the shakel that it could be worth zero.
I'm not expecting the guy to be at Russia to be able to do this to me. I'm not expecting him to be. When I buy a car from you, I know you come theoretically come with a sledgehammer and break it, because it's understood you're not going to do that.
When I buy an oil future for $80, I know.
This is not a question of price fluctuating. This is, I bought this from you in good faith, not expecting you to go ahead and smash it for me. It's like, you can do such a thing. It's a terrible thing that you did.
But you weren't entitled to do it.
No, I wasn't entitled to it. I can do it. Not everything I can do my task. No, I theoretically could pull off a halachic stunt to do it, but in no shape before my allowed to, I have to pay for it. So this is the famous word for Rabbeinu Tam. So, in light of this Rabbi Nadav, even though we may scratch your heads a little bit, but at least Rabbi Nadav explained the mechanism. It's startling. That's again, you're not allowed to do it, and Beis is going to catch you for it, and you're going to have to pay, you're going to take his entire and everything. But we can begin to understand why this is not Mazik Mamish for the following reason. In order to be Mazik Mamish literally means you own property, you own a car, I take a sledgehammer, and I smash the car window. That is the halach equivalent of maka nefesh behem yishamena. When I do something that sets into motion a whole serious chain of events that ends up costing you money down the line, that is not mazik mamish. That is either garmi or grama, depending on the nuances of the difference between the two, which again is a loaded question, not for now. But mazik yadayim is not. Comes the ketzos and says, there's no way you can call meichel shtachayv l'chaveiro a mazik mamish. Because if you think about it, I didn't touch what you own. I wasn't even mazik yeshiva nechasim. I was mazik the shibud haguf. You don't even own the shibud haguf. So how can you as a lekech take me to a din Torah? How dare you were just mazik my chayv? Pusachem, you didn't own the chayv. I was mazik myself. My being mazik myself set up a chain of events that's going to cost you money down the line. Yes, it would make you pay. You know why? Because it did it to Gami. And guess what? If you deny it to Gami, I'm going to get off scot-free.
According to Rabbi Yantam, and therefore following, we're uprooting the Shiris
Chomets.
Because if Mechira itself on a star can be mochel post the Mechira, then the Mechira doesn't have a toughest to, doesn't attach itself to something that can follow the seller. So if I'm, as a mocher, if I can the next day have chorat to say, I'm mocher whatever I sold to the third party, and then I uproot the mechanism of mechira.
You can't uproot a mechira. When I sell you chomet using a shtar, I sell you kark, I sell you a piece of land, I sell you my house using a document, so I sold you the house. I used the document as a vehicle to sell you a dover, the end, a chayfet. The Torah says that the kark is dikta bishtar. So once I sell you the item itself, I can't back out from Mechira. That's absurd. Once I sell you, I'm not the Bailam anymore. Mechira Shtaros means that I'm using a shtar to sell you a Shiva Dechasim. That's all I can say. I can't sell Shiva. Shiva Aguf is not lita to Mechira. So the Vorder of Enetam is the reason why I can be Moichel on the Shiva Aguf is because I never sold the Shiva Aguf in the first place. Even if I want to, I couldn't sell the Shiva Aguf. It's not the same at all. In the case of when I use a shtar to sell an item that's nitan to mechira, then the game's over. I can't turn it's a joke. I can't turn around and back out from the deal. But here, I use the shtar to sell you a shibur nechasim. I did not use the shtar to sell you a shibur nechasim because I couldn't even if I would have wanted to. That's why I can be away from the shibur nechasim.
Didn't we say that sorry, Sharusa,
right. Sorry, Sharusa, Chaber is also only having
the worst case then.
Oh, very good, excellent, very, very good, very, very good, excellent. So Sorim Shorosh Chavero may end up at the end of the day being a, it's better and worse depending on your vantage point. A Maisa is done, true, but a Mazik, a piece of paper, which sets up a chain of events to make the person lose the right to collect the property later. So that's why I didn't touch the item itself. I burnt you a 5-cent piece of paper. So if you hold Dina de Garmi is chayav, but wait a second, the lack of that piece of paper now sets up a chain of events that I can't collect my $1,000 chov. Whereas by Moichel, I was Moichel the dover itself. I aimed on the hezek itself. I didn't destroy the piece of paper. I aimed to destroy the chov. The only thing is, remaining time is I can't do that because the chov, I destroyed the chov, but I'm still the owner of the chov because I never sold you the chov. So Sor Shorosh Chavera and Mecha Shorosh Chavera are both Tilda Gami, albeit for different reasons. One is a chisar on the chayre in the Maisa Gufa, and one is a chisar is that I didn't sell the item itself. So in all the dust cells, we're still back to square one. We have Machlekes as a Rosh Ramban. Is Mazik B'dibor automatically called the Mazik Mamish? Or can we hide by Tilda Gami? So Mecha Shorosh Chavera sounds like it was a raya. The Ramban himself actually brings such a raya, and he brings the raya himself, the Ramban. And it does a Rosh says, no, it's not a raya B'chla. You know what I'm saying? Right, 100% right, very good. So by mochel, you're 100% right. By mochel, it's exact. By mochel, it is the event. That's why it's not the same as Sorev. Right. So, but the reason why it's in the Gami is for a different reason, because I wasn't mazik your property. Means my mechila was on the gufachov. Now the gufachov I never sold to you. So it happens to be once I'm mochel the gufachov, mainly that's going to unravel the whole story. So that's why it's in the Gami. So I'll call upon him, Mechitza Kemshi Nifritza. One thing we know for a fact, it is not Mazik Mamish. That the Gemara is black and white, it is only Dina Degami. And the Ramban is guessing in Kutus Dina Degami that the reason why it's only Dina Degami must be because it's Nezek Ayde Machshava. And that got us the ball rolling about, is that only Machshava? I'm going to deeper fit into the picture, but getting back to our sugya, the reason why it's not Mazik Mamish, it's only Dina Degami, is because of Machshava.
If the purchaser of the Shtar would be co-paced, Shiva,
would
we make him
give
it
back? What does that mean? Tofis the Shiva went after I was Mochel?
Yeah.
No, yeah, you have to give it back. Yeah. So, up until now, we've been going down the route of the Ramban. The reason why it's only Dina de Garmi is because of Machshava. Hopefully, that's Hashem on Friday. We're going to go down the other path where the Ramban presents another possibility and then quickly rejects it. And that potential possibility and rejection possibility is going to segue us right into the next sugya. So on Friday, we'll put the final touch on this sugya and move directly into the next.